There's so much potential.
Liars.
You don't represent women in politics.
Fucking talking points.
Celebrity interviews, uplifting stories.
Bullshit.
Shop our favorite.
Where's that independent guy?
What makes a police officer choke someone out in broad daylight who's crying for the mother who's telling them that they can't breathe?
Yep. Got it. It's the king of independent talk. America's only independent voice. Rob Redding.
First of all, I just want to say thank you, Mr. Redding, for being the voice of the voiceless, man. You're very important.
You know, people say that racism comes from a construct of not being educated. I don't think any of those things are actually the answer.
Where's my Twitter?
You know that I'm enjoying the show this morning. What is your name again?
We need to be listening to your voice and your station at drive home time.
I've just recently learned about the radio show, and you're on it.
The gloves are off, and Mr. Nice Guy has left the damn building. He's the baddest bisexual in talk history. This is Ready News Review, Unrestricted.
This is Ready News Review, Unrestricted. I'm Ready News Review, Unrestricted. Voice of Impressive News and Thrills. This show is about this show they fear. This is Ready News Review, Unrestricted. Welcome to the program. Wow, there's been a lot that's happened over the weekend. I wanted to start with SCOTUS yesterday, and we did that. The Told You So one will have to be all you get right now because we need to do Told You So too at some other date because of what has gone on over the weekend. I've watched all of it. And then what happened last night definitely is something we have to talk about. So good day to you. Where do we start here? First of all, Nancy Pelosi, I've never liked this woman. It's probably the biggest story right now. Doesn't really deserve to be. She's in the news. But last night, one of the things I want to talk about is the member of Migos that was gunned down in Houston. His name is really important. He's a big guy in hip-hop. He's a really big guy. All of them are really big guys in hip-hop. But Takeoff died last night, and Migos is one of my favorite groups coming out of Atlanta. I never got a chance to actually say hello to them, but I was literally in contact with them just a few feet away when Greg Street was interviewing them on his show a few years back over at V103 in Atlanta, where I used to work. And I can say that I really was a big fan of theirs. And Migos is a major group. They've had number ones. I shouldn't have to really tell you who Migos is. I know that some of you are saying that probably rings a bell, but I don't know who they are, Rob. I know my kids might listen to them, or I might have heard their music and I might not know who they are. They had a number one hit, and you probably know it. You might know it. Bad Bougie, just incredible song, went to number one. They have done a lot of big records, and him dying was one of the things that was a little bit unforeseen last night. Last night was a great night for me. All of that being said, although I dodged bullets myself, apparently, at the Halloween parade. I was there at the Halloween parade. I really appreciate Timothy for letting me know about this because I didn't even know about the parade. We had never been before. And I was in the parade. Timothy was running behind. And the Thriller float, which is apparently a float that happens in the Halloween parade, it was the 49th year for the Halloween parade here in New York City, was the float that literally recruited me to go and dance around the float. Now, the Thriller float is exactly what it sounds like. And by the way, if you don't know this, Thriller is going to be 40 next month. It'll be 40 years. I can't believe it's been that long. I guess I was 6 years old, maybe six or seven or five. I don't know what the math, one of the three. I remember when Thriller debuted. And when everybody was talking about Thriller when I was a kid, man, and I just remember it being such a big deal. And everybody remembers everything about Thriller, and they remember Thriller in such a great light now. But, you know, I've read so much about Thriller since then, and the internet being what it is, it's just rife with, you know, all types of ridicule about Michael Jackson and Thriller. Years ago, when Thriller was released, you know, he was lambasted by religious leaders and said it was cultic, that it was one of the most evil things that was inserted into the mainstream press in years. And so I didn't remember any of that. I don't know whether the reporting was as good as it is now about Thriller, but you know, everybody remembers all the good stuff that happens a lot of times, and they don't remember the bad stuff that happened at the time when something happened. When you do something innovative, when you do something new, Michael Jackson really wanted to do a film. He always wanted to be a movie star. If you know anything about Michael Jackson, he always wanted to be, of course, you know, he was in The Wiz, but you know, and I know an interesting story about The Wiz. This is really mind blowing. I met this guy the other month or so at Barnes & Noble, oddly, and he told me, I think the name of the guy who was the person who was, and I'd never heard this story before. He said it was a guy by the name of Gregory Peck, I believe his name was. He was a dancer. He was actually a ballet dancer, tap dancer. They said he was probably one of the best tap dancers of his time, but he died of HIV/AIDS. And he was up against Michael Jackson for The Wiz, the role in The Wiz, the Scarecrow. And he said, the guy who I was talking to, who was a friend of his, of course, you know, this man is dead now. He said, I got beaten out by this guy who could sing really well. And that's how he described Michael Jackson. He said he could sing really well. And he says, I think I need to learn how to sing. That's what he says to the guy who I was talking to. I can't remember his name. I haven't seen the guy since then, but like I said, we were literally sharing a table at Barnes & Noble, and they were both dancers back in the day. And the reason why I know this guy has any credibility is because he actually knows somebody that I know as well. We have a mutual friend, and that mutual friend is Nat Horn, who used to be Alvin Ailey's lover, who now lives in Alvin Ailey's house in Hell's Kitchen. And I've been in that house, actually. I've been in Alvin Ailey's old home. Now, you know Alvin Ailey, of course, the Alvin Ailey theater company. It does amazing productions every year. As a matter of fact, one's probably coming up now for Christmas. It comes around this time. But my point is that what's interesting about this is he says that he knows Nat. And so when he said he knew Nat, I was like, oh, I know you're the real deal. Like, I know you're really a dancer. He's like, yeah, I danced with Nat. I danced with, you know, this guy named, I think it was Gregory Peck is his name. I might be wrong on the last name. I think it's Gregory Peck. And so the thing about Gregory is he was going up against Michael Jackson for the role of The Wiz and the Scarecrow in The Wiz. And The Wiz is actually one of my favorite things because I just watched it because of Michael Jackson. And they said, you know, Michael actually couldn't dance that well. That he, you know, that was the issue, that Michael really couldn't dance. And this is the thing you didn't really hear, because you know, Michael's not a classical dancer. Michael wasn't like he didn't claim to be a ballet dancer or a tap dancer. But that's what they kind of needed for this role. What put Michael in the role was the fact that he could sing, and Gregory couldn't sing. And so he's having a conversation with his friend, you know, and he's this friend who's sitting in front of me and says, you know, Gregory told me that he needed to learn how to sing. Of course, he never would, because he died of HIV/AIDS. He literally dated the time that he died and said, you know, shortly thereafter, he was dead. But no, the crazy thing about it is these are stories that you never hear, right? And you definitely never hear the fact that Michael Jackson couldn't dance, you know, well. And so that was one of the things that actually almost took him out of contention for the role. So back to Thriller. Thriller was one of those where it had this interesting backstory if you do some research on Thriller. And the backstory is that, you know, Michael was a really religious guy. He was in the, what are the people that knock on your door that come up? Oh, Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah, that's it. I should know that as a child of the church, Jehovah's Witnesses. So anyway, Jehovah's Witnesses, they were really upset with Michael Jackson about Thriller. And they threatened to kick him out of the church. I'm not kidding about Thriller, because they said it was one of the things that was just so interesting that I just wanted to share with you about that. And you know, there's another verse of Thriller that is actually more dark and macabre, and you can find it online, but they took it out. It's a part of the rap for Thriller at the end, And they said, this is just too dark for the track. And so you have a situation where Thriller comes out and they were trying not to be dark. Okay. And they were trying not to be satanic. They were trying not to be, you know, to get this whole description that he got from the church. And so he ends up getting it anyway, even though he takes out a whole rap verse about this just dark night that's there. And it just shows you no matter what he tried to do at that point, he was still going to get this ridicule from the church. See, this is the reason why I don't, you know, I listen to people that are supposedly Christian and all of that, growing up as a child in the church. And what's interesting is that I don't let these people influence me the way people allow them to. I have my own personal relationship with God, and I think it's really important that you have one too if you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, I think it's important that you have a personal relationship with God, because, you know, if you believe that you're the biggest thing out there, then I always have an issue with people that believe they're the biggest thing after, and that after them, you know, everything kind of goes dark. I think that if you believe there's something bigger than you, then you're more grounded as an individual. And that's just my belief. That's who I believe. So I believe in God. But the problem is that, you know, there are a lot of people who believe in God that want to put their precepts and their thoughts onto other people. And they want to make sure that that regulates their behavior. And God doesn't say do that. What God says is that follow my commandments, believe in me as the beginning and the end. Claim that if you accept Jesus Christ coming back for your Savior and to bless you of your sins, then you're going to heaven. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say all these other things that people try to make it out to be. You cannot take one part of the Bible and then say that these are things that are going to send you to hell, because the Bible is a whole document and you have to take the Bible all together. But that's what I believe. But Michael was a very religious guy, and Thriller is something that he actually had second thoughts about. And this is something a lot of people don't know. And Thriller almost was not released. As a matter of fact, he wanted to take it out of the album. That would have been a big mistake. He had second thoughts about it because he knew the church might have problems with this track. And of course, like I said, they took a verse already out of it. He actually got cold feet and asked that it be taken out. And it was not taken out. Of course, Thriller was the biggest hit. So I'm sitting there at the parade and I'm waiting on Timothy to get there. And then I'm recruited by the Thriller float. And I didn't even know that that was a big deal. The Thriller float is a big deal in this Halloween parade, because I had a conversation. It's really interesting. I had this conversation with Timothy about whether I wanted to be Michael Jackson or not. And I almost decided not to be Michael Jackson. And one of the things that, you know, because we talked about it, you know, Michael is one of the most influential stars, and everybody knows who he is. But really, Michael meant a lot to me. You guys know about the fact that I did not go on stage with Michael Jackson when he asked for me to come up. I've always been a very good dancer. I don't dance often. And people ask me if I dance, and I'm like, I don't really dance, okay? I don't really count dancing like Michael Jackson as dancing, but it is what it is. I can dance like Michael Jackson because I saw him live. I saw Michael Jackson do the moonwalk, and I've never seen anybody else do the moonwalk like Michael Jackson. I've seen people imitate Michael Jackson's moonwalk. I've never seen anybody do the moonwalk like Michael Jackson. Now, I understand, trust me, I understand this history too, that Michael Jackson did not create the moonwalk. Michael Jackson made the moonwalk popular. Michael Jackson saw the moonwalk here in New York City. It was performed for him by some people on the street. He took it. He made it famous when he was at Motown for the reunion show, and he debuted it there, which is what my costume looked like. I looked like the debut of the moonwalk, where he literally walks out and he sings Billie Jean, and then he does the moonwalk. And it's just an amazing moment. And then I saw him do that live at Fulton County Stadium. I was in the aisles. I was probably like 10 rows back from Michael Jackson. And he stops the show. And you've heard this, but I love telling this story. He stops the show. He looks at me, and then he fingers to come up. And I say, nope, not going up. My sisters were upset with me. Then he says, he's not done. Then he says to me, hey, you, come up here. And I'm like, no, I am not going up on that stage with him. My sisters, again, were really upset. So then Michael thinks he can coax me up there, and he decides to invite all the kids. He says, all the kids, come up here. Come up here. He was with his brothers. This is Victory, by the way. This is not a Michael Jackson-only concert. He's with his brothers, okay, the Jackson 5. They're all there. I think Marlon was there, too, because he, at that time, was now old enough to be part of the Jacksons. So they became the Jacksons. And so it wasn't the Jackson 5, it was the Jacksons. And so it was a tour that they did. And a lot of people don't know a lot about this tour. Just about every other dollar went to voting rights of this tour. And so it was a really important tour. There were some historic things about Victory that a lot of people don't remember or recall about why Victory was an important tour. And so he asked for all the kids to come up. And I don't go up still. But I remember those moments that Michael Jackson, you understand, Michael Jackson stopping that moment in that tour for me to say, you can dance, I want you up here, and then him trying to get me to go up there with all those other kids, and I still didn't go. I think I'm probably one of the only people to say no to Michael Jackson. I mean, I'm sure he remembers that moment because he was frustrated with me. He had asked me three times to come up on the stage with him, and I would not do it. But just the fact that he wanted me on the stage, considered one of the greatest entertainers out there, one of the best dancers, there's still never been a dance move that's bigger than Moonwalk that anybody's ever done on stage that is done by more people, valued by more people, and as innovative as the Moonwalk. There's never been a dance move since the Moonwalk, not yet, that has captured the imagination of people in the way Michael Jackson has. For him to have stopped that concert and asked me three consecutive times to come up there, and I did not go up there, was enough for me to want to do what I did last night. Now, what I did last night, I had people coming up to me, I'm not lying, and there's a picture on Instagram. They came up to me and said, you were better than Michael Jackson. I have never seen you dance for 16 blocks. The people on the float, and they were doing, you know, they had the Thriller line. They had about 70 people literally doing Thriller. There was a fake Michael Jackson in the red and black jacket. And then behind him were his, you know, were the Walking Dead. And they were doing the whole, you know, side to side, the crypt walk with this creepy Thriller track droning in the background going on a constant loop. And I can tell you, those guys were very talented. And they do this every year. This is the 49th year. And of course, Thriller's 40 years old. So next month, it's the 49th year. Next year is going to be the 50th year. And what's interesting is they were like, you were the best Michael Jackson we've seen. Now, I think that guy that's in MJ on Broadway who just won the award is amazing. I thought he was amazing. He's an amazing dancer. He's an amazing actor. You know, Miles, I think his name is. And so he's an amazing, he's a nice looking guy too. He kind of looks like Michael Jackson. He doesn't look like Michael. Michael Jackson was tall. He's short. And so I think he's very good. And I wouldn't even venture to say that I'm better than him. But I can tell you last night I was on another level. Like it was on some, when you look at the picture on Instagram that I posted, it gives you an idea of how intense and how seriously I take that shit. I mean, I'm like, seriously, how seriously I take that shit. I'm spending some time on this because I'm very proud of this moment. Like, this moment that I was in last night for 16 blocks in New York was like another world. I felt like I was on another level, and I felt like, and I'm feeling it this morning, like I'm feeling it this afternoon, like I'm very sore from last night. And I ran 10 miles ahead of that. And so it was really one of those moments that most people thought was an incredible performance. That's what they said. And I don't know how I looked until I saw the image. And I was like, wow, It looks like I'm Michael Jackson. I actually remind myself of Michael Jackson. I'm standing on my tippy toes. I'll probably put this on Facebook. I'll put it on Twitter. I'm very proud of that moment. And the reason why is because Michael meant a lot to me. He did. You know, I've had the opportunity to meet people that were around him. I've had the opportunity to talk to people. I don't know whether Michael ever knew that I used his music for my theme song for a long time for this show. They don't really care about us. I mean, I'm a big Michael Jackson fan. And I never stopped being a Michael Jackson fan, even though I met one of his accusers. I met one of Michael's accusers who said, it happened. I didn't believe him. I listened to his whole story, but I still didn't believe him. Did I tell him that to his face? No, I didn't. He's married now. But my point is, he's married to a woman. And so he said, it happened, Rob. It happened. Michael did that to me. And I didn't make him, I didn't want to be triggering. I didn't make him go into details or anything like that. But I remember meeting him. I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan and still continue to be because I can, you know, if Michael did it, and I don't believe he did, I don't believe Michael would actually ever harm a child. But I do believe that he should not have settled the first accusation because after that, everybody came out for money and they came out for blood when it came to Michael Jackson. So when I think about Michael, I think about that performer on stage that wanted me to come up. I think about that lost opportunity, and last night was not going to be another lost opportunity. I'm glad I decided to put on the makeup, you know, to get the hair done, and I did the whole outfit myself. I bought the jacket from a thrifting day, not this past summer, the summer before, because Timothy asked me, when did you get the jacket? And I said, I got it, you know, summer before last, when we broke up. And so, that's how I got the jacket, and the shirt is something I repurposed, from, earlier. And then, you know, I just had a situation where I had some shoes that, you know, kind of look, and that are a little bit more comfortable than Michael's. And I was like, I'm not trying to do loafers. I'm not going to go into a parade with loafers. That's not going to happen because Michael used to wear loafers, and I don't know how he did it. But he wore the same loafers all the time. There's a funny story about, and he would buy like 100 pair, and he would like go through them. It was a funny story that his brother, I think Jermaine, saw him in a store one day, and he didn't know it was Michael because Michael's disguises were that good. And he looked down at his shoes when he was in doubt, and he looked down at his shoes. He said, Michael, is that you? And he was like, yeah, you... How did you know me from my outfit? And he says, I know your shoes anywhere because he wore the same shoes. He wore the same style of shoes because he danced in those shoes. He walked around in those shoes. Those shoes were most comfortable for him. God bless him. I never have found any loafers that I've ever, because I have a high-end step, that's why. And Michael didn't have a high-end step, that I've ever worn that are comfortable enough to dance in. But I knew that I could dance in the shoes that I had on last night, because I walk in those shoes a lot. They're comfortable for me. As a matter of fact, if I needed to, I could run in those shoes. I could run 10 miles easy. Probably wasn't the best idea to run 10 miles before dancing all night last night. And then when the rain came, I knew that was even going to make my hair better, because I didn't wear a wig, because Timothy and I talked about it. Timothy said, you should probably get a wig from the store. Timothy said to me, it's about $100. And I said, I'm not spending $100 on a wig. You know, I'm going to do it the old, because I got this big fro, this high top that I have on my head. I said, I'm going to turn that into a curl situation. And that's what I did. I took it down, and made it work, and made it look like Michael back in the early days, which is how he looked when he was 25, when he did the moonwalk for the first time. So it was a great night. Understanding that there was a shooting as a result of some people getting crazy. There was a young man who was shot twice in New York City. We were not involved in that after leaving the parade. But I can tell you that, you know, God is good, and I really appreciate the opportunity. And thank you for the Brooklyn Vegan, which I think is appropriate that they actually got the shot, because the Associated Press was there. I haven't seen any of the shots from the Associated Press, okay? maybe they're going to use them next year, but they did a ton of pictures of me, and that's where I was looking for pictures. But the vegan did a great job. The Brooklyn Vegan did a great job of capturing the moment. That is the moment. That's why people were raving, because they were like, I mean, the crowd was going crazy, because I thought it was a great moment. It was a great moment. It was a great moment to be on the streets of New York after COVID has had its real havoc. And I know that there's a more virulent strand that's coming our way. It's already in Europe. It's already in parts of Asia. It's coming our way, folks. Another virulent part of this horrible virus is coming our way. But for that moment in time, kind of like with Pride, what happened with Pride, I wanted people just to have a good time and to remember that we can still have a good time and we can still come together. And that was one of the things that Michael used to do. He used to bring people together. And that was my moment to remind people of the greatness of Michael, of what Michael represented. He was a very talented individual, immensely talented individual, and with a big caring heart. By all people that have ever met him and talked about him have said how caring and how loving he was, maybe to a fault. And I wanted to give them the best of what Michael saw that night when he wanted me to come up on that stage. And I'm so proud that I went ahead and I did the costume, I did the work, I got there, I got recruited by Thriller, the Thriller float, and I was able to do what I was able to do. And also, thank God that I wasn't harmed as a result of that shooting last night. Speaking of shootings and speaking of being harmed, Nancy Pelosi's husband was harmed in an incredibly senseless attack on her. And I really don't like Nancy Pelosi, but I can tell you that she is an important person and she doesn't deserve this. No one deserves to be shot, killed, hurt, hammered, whatever this was going to be. And I can tell you that my prayers are going out to her and her husband as he is recovering. I want you to listen to the latest. Here's what we know.
The suspect who police say attacked House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband is now facing federal charges. Investigators say David DePop had zip ties and duct tape when he broke into Pelosi's home on Friday. He told police he wanted to hold the speaker hostage and, quote, break her kneecaps. 82-year-old Paul Pelosi is still in the hospital after undergoing surgery for a fractured skull.
And then, of course, there is the horrible shooting that happened at a bowling alley in Houston. And it seems like, and I'm not going to blame Takeoff for this, but it seems like they would stop posting their locations, because that's one of the things that Takeoff did. He posted where he was. Quavo, his uncle, posted that they were in Houston earlier, and he has passed away at the age of 28, shot dead in Houston after God knows what happened at this place. We're still learning details. TMZ has the story. We're going to put it on the website. It's so sad, because Migos is one of those groups that is really a life just changing cultural group in hip hop. And for them to lose Takeoff in this way is very sad. For us to lose as many people, Nipsey Hussle, all of the people we've lost, Bankroll, Fresh, we've lost so many people who are so talented. This really cut deep when I woke up and I got this text message alert about this and the fact that Takeoff is gone, no longer here with us after being gunned down. As many as 5 shots were heard, and I don't know how many times he was shot, but this is really cutting deep in Atlanta, my hometown, where Migos is from. Migos is probably outside of Young Thug, one of the biggest sellers coming out of Atlanta most consistently. And this reminds me of what happened to the Lost Boys. They weren't at the height that Migos was at, and they were not as big as Migos when they lost one of their members when he was coming out of a hotel and mistakenly shot by this young man who thought that he was someone else, he says. Just really, I'm sure that the person that shot Takeoff targeted Takeoff, because Takeoff, again, was on social media outside of the bowling alley a few hours before he was shot. So he let people know he was there. And now he's gone. Listen to this.
Takeoff, one third of the group Migos, is dead after a fatal shooting in Houston, Texas, according to multiple reports.
Now I cannot feel the wheel. Whoa. My chest band give me chills. Ice. And the left hand of Richard Mille. Ice. Not the watch, but the price on the ice, if you don't know what that is.
The Houston Police Department confirms that a shooting took place around 2:30 a.m. local time at a bowling alley in Houston, and that one victim was found deceased upon arrival. Authorities say that two other victims were taken to hospitals in private vehicles, but they did not reveal the identity of the deceased nor the injured. According to TMZ, Takeoff and Quavo, who was reportedly not harmed during the incident, were playing dice when an altercation broke out and someone opened fire, shooting and killing Takeoff. Takeoff was the youngest member of Migos.
Yeah, the whole world need to know. If you, you know what I'm saying, if you're part of the culture and a part of the hip-hop and music, you need to know. You add fuel to the fire, you know what I'm saying? We love it. Make it go harder.
The band was his family, Quavo his uncle, and Offset his cousin.
All under one table, you feel me?
One table, it's one family.
Then nobody gonna scout and looking for
sin. Right.
I wish we could murder these all right now, you know what I'm talking about?
We all came up together.
In real life.
It's in the bloodline. You know what I'm saying? It's coming from the heart. You know what I mean?
Color stones in my infinity lane. And in the factory masterpiece. I call him twin, could that be my brother? We got the same roller, he matching me. Nah, for real.
Just minutes before the shooting, Takeoff posted this pic to his Insta story, smoking at the venue. ET has reached out to Houston police, Migos, and Takeoff's reps for comment.
I can't even believe this shit is true. It's just messed up.
Following the news of his death, stars were quick to send their condolences on social media.
That's crazy. Y'all take care of yourselves. Take care of your friends. Stop this stupid madness. It's just dumb.
Christina Milian shared an emotional message, writing that she was definitely a fan. Young Miami tweeting three heartbreak emojis, while Tiana Taylor shared a pic of the rapper, begging for the news to just be a bad dream.
Man, talk about meeting Michael Jackson. It would have been a pleasure to meet these guys, Migos, at V103 when I was there. But like I said, Greg Street was interviewing them. I just didn't want to hang around. I was tired that day. I remember that day very well. I remember looking at them through the glass. And when I say the glass, I'm saying they were literally in a glass room in a studio being interviewed by Greg Street. And everybody said the Migos was next door. And so I just popped in and I looked at those guys. And, Takeoff was there. Quavo was there. Offset was there. And I just remember, you know, seeing those guys for the first time, and now, you know, I'll never get a chance to say hello to all three of them. This will change that group. Of course, Quavo is the uncle. You have Takeoff being his nephew. They had an album that had just released a single on Monday, and he's dead today. It was called Unk and Pew, and as a nephew, Pew. And, of course, they had that little side project, but they were all known, of course, and then the cousin was Offset. So, of course, you know Offset with his involvement with Cardi B. So those are all just really important people in hip-hop. And I cannot say enough about the fact that when there's so much news out there, and this is not the top story, you know there's a lot of news out there. There's a lot of news out there, really. But this is one of the top stories that I definitely want to bring to you today. I also want to follow up while we're talking about rappers. Let's go in and do the Kanye West stuff. Kanye West over the weekend, I have to mention this, decided to apologize for what he said about George Floyd. Of course, he's getting sued by George Floyd's family now about saying that this was not him being choked out to death, that this was more about a drug-induced state that he was in, and he died as a result of asphyxiation because of that. He actually apologized for that. I want you to hear a little bit of that. And he also said he didn't know he was being anti-Semitic. He told this to TMZ, speaking of TMZ, that he told this to TMZ. He told them this weekend. This is on the website. And I want you to hear what we've got on this and listen to this.
When I said that and I questioned the death of George Floyd, it hurt my people. It hurt the black people. So I want to apologize to hurting them, because right now God has shown me by what Adidas is doing and by what the media is doing, I know how it feels to have a knee on my neck now. So I thank you, God, for humbling me and letting me know how it really felt.
There you have Kanye West, who until very recently was dealing with multiple lucrative business deals and still till this day has no idea what it's like to have a police officer's knee on his neck. But nonetheless, he is really stretching to make himself out to be oppressed, which I just find fascinating. And this, of course, follows his pretty gross statements about George Floyd, who was murdered by a cop named Derek Chauvin. He was convicted of murdering George Floyd and now sits in prison as a result. But Kanye West had claimed that George Floyd died of a drug overdose, not because of the fact that he was murdered by a cop. And so his family, George Floyd's family, has now filed a lawsuit to the tune of $250 million. And it's a defamation lawsuit following Kanye's statements about the fentanyl overdose. Now, West addressed his recent anti-Semitic comments, simply saying he didn't realize he was being anti-Semitic at all. He had no idea that the terrible anti-Semitic tropes he was spewing were offensive and incredibly dangerous. So let's hear him address that.
I didn't realize that I could be considered anti-Semitic till I read one of the definitions of anti-Semitism.
Isn't that what you said? That Jews run everything?
Yeah, but that actually is considered to be anti-Semitic.
Right.
So I didn't realize that it was anti-Semitic to say, hey, you know, I have a Jewish attorney, I have a Jewish record label, I have a Jewish contractor.
Well, let me just say, I didn't know that he was being anti-Semitic either. And I think that's a good way to put it, because again, I said this last week and I will say it again. I don't think that there's anything that I heard from Kanye that was anti-Semitic that I haven't heard black people say already. And some of the things he said were absolutely correct. Again, I'm waiting for somebody to tell me exactly what he said. And so for him to respond and say, I didn't know I was being anti-Semitic, I would have the same reaction. I mean, saying that Adidas won't drop me and I could say something anti-Semitic doesn't mean that he did say something anti-Semitic. I mean, I still have more questions than answers. I go back to last week's show. If you haven't listened to that, go back to last week's show and listen to last week's show about Kanye West and me raising those questions, or the Week in Review of last week. And you will understand why I say I truly don't believe that he was being anti-Semitic here. I also want to keep going and tell you about what's going on and following up while we're following up about Kanye West. Follow up with what's going on with Herschel Walker in the governor's race and the Senate race that's so tight down there. And that governor's race is going to end. The reason why I keep talking about the governor's race is that governor's race is going to influence what happens in that Senate race. The governor down there, that race is clearly, I think, still his to lose. I think he's very close to winning. Now, you got to watch that early voter turnout, because that early voter turnout is where he's right. If blacks show up, he loses. He said that. If blacks show up, I'm going to lose. He's absolutely right, and he should. But I'm understanding that he's the clear front runner here. But if he's got coattails, he does win, he will drag Herschel Walker into the Senate. And that is the real possibility here. Now, I don't know which way, because they're in a statistical dead heat. Herschel Walker and Warnock are in a dead heat. It does not seem clear here what happens as a result. And they've made a big deal about there's a libertarian. Of course, they always make a big deal about when independents are in races. And in Georgia, you can't win by less than 50%. There's going to be a runoff. There's probably going to be a runoff here if it's as close as they're saying it's going to be, because you need 51% to win that office. I don't know what's going to happen. All I can tell you is that Herschel Walker has more problems today than he did yesterday, because remember I told you about a second woman that came out and said that Herschel Walker is responsible for her abortion. Remember her identity, because we ran the press conference with Gloria Allred, who I don't like. There is now, instead of being anonymous, she has popped on camera and said, "Hi, I'm looking you dead in the eye, Herschel Walker, and saying you're a damn liar when you say this didn't happen." And she's got receipts. I want you to hear this from ABC News. They did an incredible piece on this that I saw earlier this afternoon, and I want you to hear what she told them.
It also marks 1 week until Election Day, the balance of power in Congress at stake here, and one crucial race that could tip that for U.S. Senate in Georgia is Republican nominee and former Cowboys player Herschel Walker at the center of a scandal over his views on abortion. This midday, a second woman now speaking out, accusing him of pressuring her to have an abortion. Juju Chang reports.
I've kept this to myself for 30 years. I protected him, and I wanted this to remain private for obvious reasons.
Last week, a second woman, her face and name withheld, accused Republican Senate candidate and former football star Herschel Walker of pressuring her to get an abortion. Walker denouncing her claims as foolishness and lies.
I've said that's a lie, and I've moved on, and they want me to play these guessing games and all this, but I'm not. I'm not into that. I'm into winning this great seat, fight for the great people of Georgia, because that's what this is about.
Now Jane Doe responds. At her request, we agreed not to use her name, calling her Jane Doe instead, but she says she now wants to show her face.
And so what makes you want to speak about it now?
When I saw the first woman come forward a few weeks ago, he immediately called her a liar and said, "I never signed anything with the letter H." And I knew I had many cards from him where he signed the letter H. And so I believed then that she was telling the truth.
Jane Doe showed us some cards and letters she says she received from Herschel Walker, some signed with a flourish, that H. She says she took this photo of Walker asleep. They had met, she says, in the late 80s when he was married to his first wife, and she says had an affair that lasted 6 years.
We saw each other several times a week, usually in the mornings, and we saw each other before games, home games, away games, that kind of.
Jane Doe shared hotel receipts from that era and a voicemail she says is from Walker after he went to the Olympic Games in 1992.
He often told me in writing and every time we had a conversation how much he loved me and how much I meant to him and that I was who he wanted to be with.
Jane Doe says despite being on birth control, she got pregnant in 1993. Walker, she says, pressured her to get the abortion.
He was very clear that he did not want me to have the child. And he said that because of his wife's family and powerful people around him, that I would not be safe and that the child would not be safe.
That's very menacing.
It is very menacing. It is very menacing. And I felt threatened and I thought I had no choice.
She says at first she went to an abortion clinic but couldn't go through with it. But Walker, she says, talked her into going back with him.
He came to my house and picked me up and drove me to the clinic. And I went in alone, and he waited in the car while I went in and had the procedure.
She says Walker gave her cash to pay for the abortion and has no records or receipts of the payment or the procedure. She says after the abortion, everything changed.
Everything shifted. He distanced himself from me almost immediately.
Jane Doe says she left her life in Dallas within days and never moved back. Over the years, she says Walker reached out occasionally.
I told my parents that I had miscarriage because I couldn't tell them the truth. And I told a few friends the same thing because I couldn't tell them the truth.
Why in your mind did you feel like you couldn't tell them the truth?
It just was very shameful. And I felt like I had been manipulated.
We spoke to two women identified to us as friends of the accuser by her lawyer, Gloria Allred. They each told us Jane Doe confided in them in the 90s that she got pregnant during a years-long affair with Walker. One woman saying she took this photo of Jane Doe and Walker meeting at a conference in 2019, years after their alleged affair. Her friend describing how she says they greeted each other.
He embraced her, and that embrace, it was very emotional. It lasted longer than a normal embrace. It was like they'd known each other for years and years and years, which I'd known they had.
But Jane Doe says her feelings changed after she saw Walker deny that he'd ever paid for an abortion. That, says her lawyer, is when she decided to come forward.
Herschel Walker looked the American people in the eye after she spoke out last week and said it was a lie. Both women were liars. And she's now looking the American people in the eye. And she's telling her truth.
And what makes you think he's not fit to be a U.S. Senator?
I think honesty matters.
Now, it's worth noting that Jane Doe is a registered independent, and she told us she voted for Donald Trump twice. She says she's not motivated by politics, but by what she says matters more, the truth. Now, Herschel Walker's campaign told us to refer to previous statements in which he said, "This is a lie, I've moved on, they want me to play these guessing games, but I'm not into that. I'm into winning." Gigi Chang, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Wow, wow, wow. What a thriller this is going to be. What a thriller this has been. I told you there was a lot of news. There's a lot of news. And there's still some news I won't get to today, but that's news that we need to be imparting upon you. Maybe we'll get to the I told you so too tomorrow, mañana. Guys, I've had fun, but I got to run. If I'm not here, I'm there. There is ReadyNewsReview.com on the World Wide Web. Rang like go to sitting on dock of the bay, baby. NewsReview.com on the World Web. Yes, it's my family. Yes, I'm related to Reading, but it's not my money, which means I'm back your way. Mañana after 4 p.m. with more Ready News Review Unrestricted.